Thank you very, very much. That's right, bud. That's right. How's everybody doing this morning? Have reason to be joyful, amen? Reason to celebrate. Big smiles, everybody. It's a good day. Really, really good day. One day, a man by the name of Mr. Douglas, he looked over his fence at his neighbor. There was a fence that divided him and his neighbor, and one day Mr. Douglas looked over his fence to see that his neighbor's little boy was filling a hole. He dug a hole, and he's sitting there doing this number, just filling it up. And so Mr. Douglas was curious. What are you doing? He says to Joey, "Joey, what are you up to, man? What's going on?" He said, and Joey's a little bit choked up. Tearing up, you know, he's sad. He says, "My goldfish has died, and I'm burying him." You know, he's doing this number. And then Mr. Douglas, he looks at this hole, and his hole was a little bit bigger than he thought for a goldfish. And he inquires about it. He says, "Joey, this hole's a little bit bigger for, don't you think this hole's a little bit big for a goldfish, isn't it?" And Joey just, he replies back very quietly but somberly, and he puts that last bit of dirt on the hole, and he just starts to tap it down, and he says to Mr. Douglas, he says, "That's because my goldfish is inside your cat." The point being, has no relevance to the grace of God, except for the fact that in the Middle Ages, Easter sermons were told to be starting off with a really good joke. Like that. And this was something that they did in the Middle Ages. And the idea was that the purpose was to create an atmosphere that was void of threat. That everyone could come into this place and there would be no threat whatsoever. The point was to establish laughter, to establish joy. And it would set the tone for the rest of the message as the preacher would preach what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. And the idea was this, that we are free to laugh in the face of the one who threatens us with shame and guilt and condemnation. We are free this morning to laugh in the face of the one who threatens your life. The enemy of your soul, you're free to laugh in his face. Here's why. Colossians chapter 1, or chapter 2, verse 15 says, Jesus, he disarmed all spiritual rulers and authority, and he shamed them publicly by his victory on the cross. And so we can come into this place being joyful and celebratory and laugh. Amen. You're free to laugh this morning. You're free to feel good this morning because of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross out of his love for you. The grace of God has been revealed to this world through his Son, Jesus Christ. I'm excited this morning, guys. I'm excited. Ephesians chapter 1. You want to follow with me? There you can. I don't really have a sermon this morning. I'm really just going to elaborate on the goodness of God and what he's done. And I'm really excited about that. It's all going to be said here in Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 10. Are you ready to be excited? This is what, I love this. This is what Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus. He's just so excited. You see him, he just rambles on. And when you read through Ephesians, you'll see that he doesn't even use periods and commas. He'll just ramble and ramble and ramble because he's so excited. And he just starts speaking the truth about this is who you are in Christ Jesus. And so if you're here this morning and Jesus Christ is your Lord and he's your Savior, this is the good news this morning. Ready? Here says this. Paul says, "All praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms." Why? Because we are united with Christ. Because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, get this, God loved us. Even before he made the world, God chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. And God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Ready? This is great. This is what he wanted to do. And it gives him great pleasure. Do so. So we praise God for the glorious grace that he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. For he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. And he has showered us with his kindness along with all wisdom and understanding. So now God has revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan that would fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is that plan, that at the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Jesus Christ. That is good news, guys. That is the grace of God. All throughout history, God has been revealing himself to the world as a God of grace and a God of mercy. And finally, when Jesus Christ comes onto the scene through his death and his victory over death and his resurrection, finally the world can now see this is the magnitude of the grace of God offered to all the world. The grace of God offered to the entire world. God is revealing himself as a God of grace to you this morning. As a God of grace this morning. What is that? What is grace? Grace is simply a gift that God gives you of his favor. The goodness of God, the favor of God, the blessing of God, all of God's goodness wrapped up and then just given to you. It's a free gift of God. The thing about this gift is that nobody in this room deserves it. That's the amazing thing about this gift. Nobody in this room deserves the gift of God, the grace of God, but he gave it to us. And this gift is offered to you today. Amen. Preach it, Caleb. Preach it, big guy. Yes. Yes, yes. Colossians 1, 21, or actually verses 19, I believe it is. It says this. For God, in all of his fullness, was pleased to dwell in Christ Jesus. And through Christ Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself. What that word reconciled means is that in through God, that God through Christ Jesus, everything that was lost because of the sin that came into this world, everything that was now distanced from him and separated from him has now been restored back to God because of the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. All the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Christ Jesus. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Why did God have to make peace? Why did peace have to be made? And the reason is because when sin came into this world, we as humanity loved sin. And we gave ourselves fully to sin. And we thought, we don't need God. I can do this on my own. Here is this loving God who created us. But man, I'm just going to go my own way. And I'm going to turn my back on this God. And I'm going to do my own thing, and I'm going to live my own way, and I'm going to rule my own world. I'm going to be the ruler of my own world. I'm going to govern myself. I don't need a God. I don't need a creator. I can do this on my own. God gave me this free will. He gave me a mind that is able to grab a hold of some pretty complex things. Why do I need God? I'm going to turn, and I'm just going to go my own way. And so man, as sin entered the world, became hostile to God. And now there is this hostility between humans and God, our creator. And it says there, and it goes on in verse 22, it says, we were once far, far away from God. We were his enemies, separated by him from him by our evil thoughts and our actions. And yet now, he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ Jesus. And as a result, is it up there? And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And you are now holy, and you are now blameless, and you stand before God without a single fault. That is the grace of God revealed to the world. I want you to know that this morning that that gift of grace is offered to every single person in this room. It is the goodness of God, the favor of God offered to you. This scripture tells us that it's by the death and the resurrection of Jesus is the only way. It's the only way for people to come to God. It's the only way for you to be restored unto your Creator. Because it's only through Jesus Christ that any of us can have our sins cleared away forever. It's only through Jesus Christ that any one of us can be restored in our relationship back with God. I want you to see something this morning, everybody. That this was about God bringing you back to Himself. Here is a loving God. His very essence is love, and He wanted to share that love. He wanted to share that love with others, and so he creates the world, and He creates this sphere that we all stand upon, and He created you, men, women, and children with a heart and a soul and a mind and lungs breathing, and you're persons now, and God wanted to share His love with you. And then sin came into the world, and you and I loved sin, and we turned our back on God, and we went that way. And God said, oh man, if they only knew what it was like to be in fellowship with me. If they only knew the depth and the realness and the authenticity of being in unity with me and being in fellowship with me and being in relationship with me. If they only knew what it was like for me to be one with them in its truest form, the way I designed and created them to experience it. If they only knew. And so what did He do? He made the only way possible for you and I to be able to experience what true life looks like, abundant life, in perfect relationship with our Father. And in His grace, a gift that was given to the world, something that you don't deserve, something that I don't deserve because of the sin in our lives, He offered up His only Son, Jesus Christ, who was without sin, who was without blemish. And He lived a life fully devoted to the Lord. And He laid down His life. And He spilled out His blood onto the earth. And that blood is the blood that was needed to be shed to atone for your sins. And now, the world can see. The world is now able to see the fullness of God's love to them. It has now been revealed to you. Open your eyes and see what the Lord has done for you this day. Open your eyes to see the goodness of God being offered to you today. And the Bible says He created all things. All things were created by Him and through Him and for Him. And that the purpose of the cross, the purpose of the sacrifice, was to bring it all back to Him. God wanted you! He wanted you. He desired you. And it brought Him great pleasure to do so. It brought Him great pleasure to give up everything and to come into this earth in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to offer His life up as a living sacrifice so that you can be free. And so that you can also be adopted into the family of God. This is the gospel, guys. This is the good news. This isn't about escaping hell and somehow getting to heaven. This is about God bringing His people back to Himself. This is about God restoring back what the enemy took away from you. This is what God wanted to do, and it was His love that motivated them to do this. Please see that this morning. A gift that nobody in this room deserves, but God offers it to the world. And so He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. You and I, who were once far away from God, separated because of this massive chasm of sin that you and I love. You see, sin corrupts the way we think about God. It corrupts how we view God. It corrupts how we view the world, and it corrupts the way that we see things. It corrupts the way that we see one another. Sin corrupts the way that we see ourselves. Sin corrupts the way that we see the world as a whole, the way we see God. It corrupts everything. It distorts everything. That is why it's so dangerous. That's why it's horrible. That's what it's done. Look at what it's done to this earth. 207 people blown to bits and pieces this morning on Easter Resurrection Sunday. Because sin has corrupted the views of people. His mercy and His grace, offered up His Son for you. So that that sin that separates you from Him would be forever canceled and removed as far as the east is from the west. And if you know anything about the east is from the west, you know that it never touches. Your sins are removed. They're forgotten by God. And now God sees you as holy, and He sees you as blameless and without blemish in your life. You stand before the living God, who is the ultimate judge of all creation, and you stand before Him without fault. That's what the gospel says. This is what we rejoice in this morning. That it has been finished, and that Jesus died, and then He rose again on 3 days to have that victory over death. So now that we can be free to laugh in the face of the one who threatens our life. So now we're free to laugh in the one who threatens us with shame and guilt and condemnation. Ha 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 ha. Nope. My God rose from the dead, and He is alive. So one of the things that we need to do, church, is preach these things over to ourselves, over our lives, over and over and over again. This stuff needs to be preached over your life. Speak it into your life. Speak it over you, because this is the truth. This is the gospel. This is the good news that God extends out to the entire world. A free gift to belong the way you were designed to belong as children with their Father. Have true life, to have true meaning. This is the grace of God. And the question that I present to you this morning is, what will you do with that gift? What will you do with that gift of grace? Whether you've been a follower of Christ for 10, 15, 20, 50 years, 70 years, or whether you don't know Jesus Christ, and you can't say that He is your Lord and your Savior. You can't say that you do follow Him. What are you going to do with the truth of this right now? Because this is the absolute truth. Jesus is the only way. He is the only truth. And He's the only life. And it is only through Jesus Christ that anyone can get to the Father. This was about the God of the universe, who created you in His image and in His likeness, restoring you back to Himself as children. Back into the family of God. And now when you're in that family, you are secure forever. You stand before your Father without fault, sinless. What will you do with this gift of grace? The Word of God says that this gift of grace has appeared to all mankind and is offered to all people. This gift is offered to you this morning. The best gift you could ever receive. But what will you do with it? There's two options. You can reject this gift of grace, or you can accept this gift of grace. To accept this truth is to accept the greatest gift that you've ever been given. To reject this truth is to reject the salvation of God. It's to reject being rescued. It's to reject being rescued. To accept this gift will change your life forever, and it will change it for the best. And you will live with joy and peace as God looks upon you as holy and righteous because of what His Son did on the cross for you. But to reject this truth is to live outside of the blessing and the favor of God. To accept this gift is to give your life back to God, just like any other gift that is given that we talked about earlier today. Any gift that is given to God is offered back to Him. You say, God, You gave it all for me. I give it all back to You. Let's do this thing together. Me and You at one with each other in full unity and fellowship. To accept this gift is to give your life to God. And to deny it is to deny the love of the Father that goes out to you. The love of a perfect Father, holy and righteous. Do not fall into the temptation of comparing the Father in heaven with your earthly father. I hope my kids don't. To accept this gift that none of us deserve is to have your life cleansed of all unrighteousness and have the sinless life of Christ cover your life. To accept this gift is to be eternally cared for, to be eternally secured, and the promises of God all over your life, promises that God will never go back on because He cannot lie. To reject this gift is to go out on your own without that security. It's to be alone, it's to be without Jesus, it's to be without the guidance of the Father in your life. And to accept this gift of grace is to be received by God as a member of His family. That's what it says here in Ephesians. That God chose in advance, He decided in advance to adopt you into His family. To bring you back to Himself. This was a rescue mission, church. This was a rescue mission to bring you back to the Father. So that you can enjoy true life and peace and hope. Joy. And to not live life in despair, but to live life as the people of Easter Sunday who say, "Hallelujah is my song." Not despair. To accept this gift is to be washed clean, to be made holy and blameless and without blemish in the sight of God. To accept this gift is to receive a new life where your past is canceled out. And God offers you a fresh start and a new identity. That's what this gift of grace that God offers to the world. What will you do with this gift of grace? Will you reject this gift or will you accept it with joy? You may be thinking this morning, "Well, I'm not an evil person. I do my best to be good to everybody. I do my best to everyone around me. Isn't that just enough?" And the answer is no. It's not enough. You're not good enough. I'm not good enough. No one on this earth has ever been good enough except for the one who is fully God and fully man, Jesus Christ. And it's through His sinless life that you are set free. And that's precisely why God gave His Son, because no one in this room is good enough. There is a standard of God's holiness and His righteousness that you cannot attain to. But what the Bible says, what the Word of God says, what Scripture says, is that when you receive this gift of grace, when you receive Jesus Christ, not only to be your Savior, but to be your Lord of your life, at that moment, the righteousness of Jesus then becomes yours. And now God looks upon you as holy and blameless, without blemish and without fault in the very eyes of the Father. God's grace revealed to the world was Him doing everything that you needed, that you couldn't do for yourself, to bring you back to Himself, to bring you back into His own presence. Could I invite the worship team to come back up and join me on the stage, please? This is a happy time. It's a celebratory time. But it's also a time and an opportunity for all of us in this room to come face to face with this gift of And so if you're here this morning and you've received this gift of grace and you've accepted this gift of grace once upon a time, that's awesome. Everything that I just read in Ephesians and everything that I just read in Colossians, it all applies to you. It's done. It's finished. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good news. But I don't want anyone else to leave here without the opportunity to receive this gift of grace, because it is the grace of God that has appeared to all mankind and it is offered to all people. It's offered to you. And this is an opportunity for you this very day to receive this gift of grace. I want you to know this morning, the only way to eternal life is completely to depend on God's gift of grace. And those of you in this room who have received this gift of grace and you've accepted this gift of grace will tell you that it's not just a one-time act that saves your life. But the grace of God, I heard one scholar say that it's like this. It's like a light being shown on you where it's just arriving fresh to you every millisecond. The grace of God, if you are in Christ Jesus right now, If His blood covers your life, and if your sins have been washed away and you're cleansed and you're forgiven and you're without fault in the Father's eyes, the grace of God is arriving fresh to you every millisecond. The grace of God not only saves you, but the grace of God sustains you in the life that God has designed for you. And not only does grace sustain you, but it does this amazing work where it transforms you. And it shapes you and molds you into the person that God designed you to be. The person that He saw from the beginning of time, even before the foundations of the earth, we just read. Before He made the world. And the grace of God, if you allow this gift of God to enter into your life, that gift of grace will transform you and mold you and shape you to live the life that He designed for you to live. Because you can't do it on your own. You can't save yourself. You cannot rescue yourself. We are a fallen humanity, and it is only by the grace of God, through Jesus Christ, that any one of us in this room can be rescued and be made right in the eyes of the Father and then brought into His family's children. I am a child of God. That is who He says I am, and that is who I believe I am. Because I've seen His grace, and I've seen it at work in my life. And I am grateful. So what will you do with this gift of grace today? The Bible says, the Word of God says, there's no other way to be saved but by the grace that God has lavished on the world through His Son. There's no other way to be saved but by the grace that God has lavished upon this world, has poured out upon this world through His Son, Jesus Christ, and by faith in that grace. You see, there's a response to this gift, just like any time you receive a gift. You receive a gift at Christmas, and someone hands you this gift and says, "This is from me, man." And you have an opportunity in that moment. You can just, thanks but no thanks, and just chuck it back under the tree, chuck it away. You know? Or you say, "Thank you. You thought about me. Care about me. I wasn't expecting anything. You didn't have to do this for me. What? You did this for me." You begin to unopen it, and you see, and it's revealed before your very eyes, that gift was given to you in love, because someone loves you, and someone cares about you, and someone has your best interests at heart, and someone just wants to see you live with a smile on your face every day. Live every day at peace. Live every day in joy. That is this gift that is offered to you this morning. The Word of God says that we are saved by grace through faith. And what faith is simply just a response, guys. It's just simply a response to what God has already done for you. It's to place your trust a loving Father. And in light of what all He has done for you, you humbly come before Him in this moment right here, and in the light of all that He's done and all the songs that we've sung and the words that were spoken by people, you say, "Wow, God, You did that for me." And you come before Him with humility. You say, "Thank You. Thank You. Thank You." You see, if you don't place your faith in this grace and you choose to reject it, then everything that was accomplished through the resurrection is of absolutely no value to you. And that's the truth. That is the truth. If you choose to reject this incredible gift that your loving Creator has done all the work for you to bring you back to Himself, to bring you into His family, so that you have a place of belonging, so that you have a place of hope, a place of eternal life with Him, and that you can experience eternal life in all of its fullness here on this earth right now. If you reject that, if you don't put your faith in that grace, and everything that we sung and cheered about this morning about the resurrection is of no value to you. And God doesn't want that to be so. He's the only one that can save you. God is the only one that can rescue any of us. The only way to receive this grace, this loving favor of God, is through Jesus Christ. And it first requires humility. You recognize that you cannot save yourself. And that it's only through Jesus Christ. And so I don't want anyone to leave here without having an opportunity to receive this gift of grace. And so what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to give you an opportunity to accept that gift. It's so simple. Guys, it's so simple. The gospel is so simple. The good news is so simple. And I was saying on Friday night, I'm so grateful that it's simple, man. You can't do that complex stuff. So what I want you to do is I want you to bow your heads. Just everybody in this room, even those of you standing up in the back, just bow your heads. Close your eyes, and in this moment, I want you to think about what God has done for you. And I'm going to read this again, and I want you just to listen. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. And even before He made the world, God loved us, and God chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure to do so. And so we praise God for the glorious grace that He's poured out on us. He's so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. And He showered His kindness on us. And now, God has revealed to us His awesome plan. And so if you're here today, and you've never received this gift of grace, now is the time to do it. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed to live tomorrow. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. All I do know is that when I do stand before the judge, when I do stand before God, when I do stand before the Creator of all things, I want to be right with Him. I want to know that I'm standing before Him as a child and not as His enemy. I want to know that when I stand before Him, I stand before Him under His grace and in His love and in His mercy, not hostile to Him. So close your eyes and bow your heads, because this is the time to do it. This is the time to do it. Everyone, your heads bowed and eyes closed. If you want to receive this grace, this gift that is offered to you in this moment, I simply want you to slip up your hand so I can see it. Nobody else will see it, just so I can see it. Amen. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Okay, you can slip your hands down. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and we're just all going to sing. I mean, we're all just going to pray this prayer together. It's as simple as coming humbly before the Father and beginning a channel of communication that opens up. So humbly before your Lord, just repeat these words after me. The Bible says that you're set free. Heavenly Father, just repeat after me. Everybody in this room, Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace that you offer me in this moment. I thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to sacrifice Himself for my sins so that I can be free. And I'm asking you for that forgiveness now. I'm asking you to wipe my slate clean. I'm asking you for a fresh start. I'm asking you for new life. I'm asking you for this joy. I'm asking you for this peace. I'm asking you for eternal life. I thank you in this moment. And I recognize that I'm a sinner. And I come before you and I humble myself before you. For you are Lord. And you are God. And from this day forth, I declare and I make a commitment before you that my life is going to be yours. And God, I'm asking you to guide my life from this day forward. To set me out on the path that you designed for me. I thank you in Jesus' name who made all this possible. And everybody in this room say it emphatically, amen, amen, and amen. So be it. I want you to stand with me, church. I want you to stand and rejoice in this good news. We're going to sing. Do we sing that song? I am who you say I am. And I want you in this moment, for those of you who have prayed this prayer for the very first time, allow yourself to be free. The Word of God says you are free, everyone. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are free. Somebody in this room say amen. Somebody in this room say hallelujah. God be glorified. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.